translation. At that time, the people in general will fall systematically from the path of progressive civilization in respect to the qualities, the qualitative engagements of the castes and the orders of society and the Vedic injunctions. Thus they will be more attracted to economic development for sense gratification, and as a result there will be an unwanted population on the level of dogs and monkeys. The Pope, by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is foretold herein that in the absence of monarchical regime, the general mass of people will be an unwanted population like dogs and monkeys. As the monkeys are too sexually inclined and dogs are shameless in sexual intercourse, the general mass of population born of illegitimate connection will systematically go astray from the Vedic way of good manners and qualitative engagements in the castes and orders of life. The Vedic way of life is the progressive march of civilization of the Aryans. The Aryans are progressive in Vedic civilization. The Vedic civilization's destination is to go back to Godhead, back home, where there is no birth, no death, no old age, and no disease. The Vedas direct everyone not to remain in the darkness of the material world, but to go towards the light of spiritual kingdom, far beyond the material sky. The qualitative caste system and the rule and the orders of life are scientifically planned by the Lord and his representatives, the great rishis. The perfect way of life gives all sorts of instructions in things both material and spiritual. The Vedic way of life does not allow any man to be like the monkeys and dogs. A degraded civilization of sense gratification and economic development is the byproduct of a godless or kingless government of the people, by the people, and for the people. The people should not, therefore, begrudge the poor administrations they themselves elect. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gaurabhavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastacha Deshatarine. So we carry on the story of how the age of Kali started. Actually, the age of Kali started when Lord Krishna appeared. But due to his influence, it couldn't take root. Lord Krishna was so powerful that, you know, the age of Kali was held back. Of course, there was the attempt of Duryodhana and his party to bring the influence of the age of Kali in, but Lord Krishna alleviated that difficulty. But then as soon as Krishna left, then immediately the age of Kali started to manifest. What's that verse? There's a verse, 1.3.43. It's saying that where is Lord Krishna gone now? Where has religion gone now? Lord Krishna's left this world, accompanied with knowledge, religion, etc. And he says it's actually in the book that we're reading today, the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna left the Srimad Bhagavatam which is actually non-different from him. This is a book, Bhagavat, and those who follow Lord Krishna's instructions from Bhagavatam, they become person Bhagavat. So Prabhupada is giving quite an understand. You know, let's think about the situation with Sringi. What caused the age of Kali? Was it Sringi? It was beyond that. It's actually the material world is made in such a way that everybody can have their desires fulfilled. And so therefore there's this rotation of four ages. Sometimes the mode of goodness is the Satya Yuga is prominent, then the Tetra Yuga or Dwapara Yuga, and then finally the Kali Yuga. So, you know, it's not just that it's to just create some difference, it's to fulfil the desires of living entities. Some people are actually wanting to enjoy this material world like anything. So therefore, there's an influence of the modes of nature, where the mode of ignorance and passion become very prominent. This is explained in the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that there's always change with these three modes. And then what happens is that those who are in that particular mode which is prominent, they flourish. So in the Satya Yuga, the mode of goodness was prominent. And in the age of Kali, the mode of ignorance is prominent. So this is the reason that, you know, we're experiencing these different situations. And so, you know, what did Sringi have to do with it? Sringi, we'll find in Srimad Bhagavatam that there's, it's not just pure philosophy. It's this story there. There's pastimes, there's rasa there also. And, you know, this rasa in this particular situation, or this pastime, is to, you know, make it interesting for people to read. And there's some philosophy in there as well. That Sringi is like, this is the degradation of the Brahmins. So why choose a little boy, you know? Then he can't be blamed, you know. Little boys at that time, they were trained up very nicely, and they wouldn't actually argue with their superiors. What to speak of the king? So that was the age of Kali. The age of Kali had started not through Sringi, because he was influenced. So that's what's happening in this world. We're being influenced by our situation to act in certain ways. And the Vedic injunctions are giving us some respite from the modes of nature if we care to take shelter of them. So it says that in the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that, you know, now I will explain right at the beginning, knowledge, the best of all knowledge. And so the best of all knowledge is knowing how we're tied to this material world. Unless we know how we're fastened to this material world, we can't actually get out. We have to know the situation we're in. And it says this is superior to the previous chapter. Previous chapter speaking about, you know, the banyan tree, how we're rooted in this world. Well, that's, you know, that's nice to know. But what's causing us to be rooted? So the 14th chapter explains the cause. So this is better knowledge. We're constantly being harassed by these modes of nature. So Lord Krishna creates a situation where people can take shelter of a process. There's always a process in order to achieve anything, and that process is Varnashram Dham in this case. This particular verse is speaking like that. Varnashram Acharavata. This means that, or Atahpambhya Dvijas Srestas Varnashrama Vibhagashata Svanastitasya Dharmasha Samsidir Haritoshanam. And the verse I was trying to quote earlier is explaining that, everybody should be engaged in these modes of, according to his particular mode of conditioning in order to function in this world. And then the next verse, this one from Bhagavatam, explains that then Krishna's pleased by that activity. Because what it means is if we act according to our particular psychophysical nature, then we can do two things. One is we can enjoy our desires and we can become liberated from those desires. So 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, just a few, in that particular first purport, it makes an amazing statement that this chapter will explain how the modes work, how they condition us, and how they liberate us. How they liberate us. So it's just therapeutic. We use the same thing which is causing us problems to have an opposite effect. Just like if we break a leg, what do we have to do? Keep it stationary? No, at some point we have to give it some exercise. And then the thing which is, you know, which caused the problem, will actually solve the problem as well. So this little bit of understanding how the modes are working. So in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, after it explains about work in the different modes, understanding in the different modes, determination in the modes, happiness in the modes, action in the modes, you know, so we can have a clear understanding of how we're actually conditioned by these particular verses. It says that when we've understood where we are, these are the four modes, the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras. And then after that particular section, it explains that if we understand what mode we're in, and then we work with that mode in that particular system, then we can become liberated from this material world. So this explains the, you know, we said earlier, how they liberate. And then, of course, the Bhagavad Gita goes into Gyan to explain more detail about coming to the point of liberation. And then it explains that at that point we can start to render devotional service. So it's a long process of working through our conditioning to come to the point of rendering devotional service. And Kalir Desh Doshinidirajan Yasteko Mahanganan Kirtanat Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangam Param Rajet. Actually, we'll come back to that one later. That's a little bit later. So, yeah, the society breaks down when Prabhupada, quite often everybody's heard Prabhupada's lectures and he's always saying that we need a head. We need a head, otherwise, you know, nothing's going to happen. And so, you know, but in this age of Kali, we haven't got a head. You know, ordinarily, to be Janma Jayate Shudra, Samskrit Bhavet Dvija, Veda Partat Patat Vipro, Brahma Janati, Brahmana. So the process would be that, you know, everybody's born in ignorance. Even a potential Brahmana. But so, you know, they would actually judge early in that particular living entity's life what his propensity was, then they would train him in a particular way. Brahman would be trained in that way, Kshatriya would be trained in that way, Vaishya and Shudra. And so, Janma Jayate Shudra. Samskaret Bhavedvija. So this is the Samskaret, the sacred thread. They would take the sacred thread and then they would be educated and they would come to the level of twice born. And then when they were actually more purified, they would take Veda Pata Bhavedvipro. They would become learned, Vipra. And you know, the conclusion of becoming Vipra, these Vipras and Dvijas, especially the Vipras, they would be expert in different fields of activity. It's not just necessarily devotional service. A Brahman, what does he mean, Brahman? He means liberal teacher. He'll teach whatever he knows to anybody. So, you know, we tend to think that it means deity worship. If we need a pujari, give him Brahman. Is that right? If he's studying the Shastra, you know, we don't really take much notice of that. But actually, Shiva Ram Maharaj did. Shiva Ram Maharaj, when he was here, he said he used to give Brahman to anybody who went down Sankirtana for a while, because he was a preacher, whether he did deity worship or not. So, you know, this is a situation, is that a Brahman has to be a teacher. This is what this movement is meant for teaching. Prabhupada said, we've built a movement to create Brahmins. And what does a Brahman do? He studies Shastra, he teaches Shastra, he worships the deity, and he teaches worship. He takes charity and he gives in charity. What is that? So twice he teaches Shastra, he gives in charity. What is that charity? He gives Krishna consciousness. So it's emphasizing this particular aspect of Brahman life. We're saying that. So it's not by birth, it's by quality. What's that verse? Yasya yal lakshanam proktam. That, you know, if we see that a person's got a particular propensity, then train him that way. So we're talking about Varnashram Dharm breaking down here due to the curse of Sringi. And, you know, here we have what they call his father now, Samik Rishi. Samik Rishi's preaching to Sringi, saying, now you're actually taking the king off the throne. Who's going to take his place? Obviously, Janmijay, his son, took over. But, you know, the age of Kali had started. He's got an uphill battle now. Parikshit had a stronghold. And, you know, even he actually challenged Kali, who was trying to infiltrate. And when he told him, you know, you've got four places that you can actually take refuge, where there's illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. But Kali realized this is such a great Vaishnav king, that won't be possible. So he asked him for is there anywhere else that, you know, you have to provide for your subjects? You have to give them sustenance, you have to give them engagement. So he said, where there's excess gold. There used to be a song, money is the root of all evil. Take it away, take it away, take it away. Does anybody remember that? You remember it, Prabhupada. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. So what the degradation means, that we don't have Brahmins who can actually give proper guidance. What's the quality of a main quality of a Brahmin, besides what we've just mentioned? What makes him able to guide society? We're not talking about knowledge now and realization. We're talking about another quality. Why is a Brahmin, you know, priceless? What? He's peaceful. Yeah. He's actually renounced. All these qualities are there, as they're given in Bhagavad Gita. But he's not, he cannot be bought. You know, money is the root of all evil, right? If we're reliant on money, then we can't tell anybody what to do, because we're reliant on somebody else. Somebody's paying us. So a Brahman would be, even Chanakya Pandit was quoted quite often by Srila Prabhupada. And his particular qualification was that there was, you know, in the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it gives all the dynasties from, you know, when Lord Krishna left and how they were degraded. And Chanakya Pandit, by his Brahminical intelligence, there was a dynasty going for years and years and years, and they were all degraded, nearly every dynasty. For this one, he actually tricked the king, and the dynasty was finished. And then he put Chandragupta in charge. So we hear that, you know, Chanakya Pandit's constantly preaching to King Chandragupta so they can rectify society again. And Chanakya Pandit, the point I'm making, why could he do that? Nobody could hurt him. Because I understand, did he live in a hole outside the gates of the city? Is it the same Brahmin? You know, so he didn't need anything. If somebody doesn't need anything, you can't buy him. You can't do anything. He can say what he wants, when he wants. He's not even concerned about losing his body. So, you know, hands up. So that's the type of leaders that we need. Is there not? But as soon as, you know, Lakshmi comes into the... This is what happened, is that then when the Kshatriyas, they weren't being guided properly because the Brahmins were actually attached. So they didn't take any notice of the Brahmins. So the Kshatriyas are guided by the mode of passion. And in Bhagavad Gita, it says, Balam Balavatam Kaham, that I am... Krishna says, I am the, you know, the strength of the strong, which is devoid of passion. So if the Kshatriya is guided, that means he's not conducted by passion, but his natural nature is conducted by passion. So when he's not guided properly, then he starts, you know, pushing people about. Want of, you know, he starts trying to, you know, have a kingdom for his own sense gratification. He starts mistreating his subjects, and then the kingly order start to come down. And that's what happened. Then what happens is that French Revolution, Russian Revolution, the French Revolution came first, but then, you know, people revolt. So then who comes in? You know, the Kshatriyas, I was watching Netflix. No, I'll blame Braj Bihari. He says, you should watch this thing. It's very good for your service. So, I paid for a month's supply of Netflix. And I thought, and then, you know, as I was watching this, I noticed some other things on there. I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. But it's relevant. It was the Ottoman Empire. And I've always had a fixation about the Ottoman Empire. I thought, you know, how come that became a great empire? So I just watched this, you know, this trailer to a film, and one important thing it said, you know, the emperor was a Christian at that time in Constantinople, and he became degraded, and therefore money. He needed money to finance everything, to finance his soldiers. So, you know, when there's money around, who's around? The Vaishyas. And they'll look after your money. So the Vaishyas they started to take over, and he was dependent on the Vaishyas. So that's what happens. The king becomes subservient to people with money. And therefore, you know, he lost everything. I think it was the Iranians, the Ottoman Empire, they actually, and then it became known as Istanbul from that time. So the Vaishyas, you know, they just know how to make money, that's all. Everything is ding, you know. Like there was one Jewish nation are very good at, they're very good Vaishyas. There was one Jewish person walking home from work, from his business, they called him Manny. And, you know, he was so caught up in thinking about pounds, shillings and pence, he started across the road and he didn't look. And, boosh, his car hit him. And as it happened, you know, he knocked him flying on the floor. And he was laid on the floor. And one person who knew him ran up to him and said, Manny, are you all right? He said, oh, I make a living. And a bit, you know, even then in that situation. So then the vices take over, and that's the situation. This is called capitalism. And in Russia, the vices didn't take over, the Shudras took over, and this is called communism. And they make a big mess of everything because they're Shudras, you know. Even, I visit Russia, and there was one doctor there, and he was living like a pauper. And he said, I'm going out of this country. He said, I'm going to Mongolia, of all places. At least I can make a decent living there. You know, everybody's equal, except the leaders, of course. So, you know, when it comes to the Shudras leading, then we're in for a hard time, because the Shudras are just interested in bodily maintenance. Bhagavad Gita says their existence is, their knowledge is meagre, and they're interested in one type of activity. What's that activity? Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. I once went to, actually, I better leave a bit of time for Girada Prabhu, Girada Pandit, it's his appearance day today. So basically, it's very difficult. And when people become past a certain point and becoming degraded, what does Srimad Bhagavatam say? Matir na Krishna, Krishna paratos fatova, Riho, Mito, Brihab, Grihavatanam, Adanta go, Vishatam tamizram, Puna, Puna, Charvita, Charvanaram. He says, that, you know, they can't actually help themselves. Nobody can help them either. And a combination, they're actually lost. This is the age of Kali. Nate vidu svartikatim hi Vishnu. Therefore, the leaders are just leading other people into a blind well, into the degradation. And they become bound by so strongly by the ropes of the material modes that they can't get out. So this is a situation in the Kali Yuga now. What's the answer? Nesham matis uru kramangrim. Spritya anatham pagamo vishekam. Anyway, I can't remember the rest of it. And it said that if we take shelter of a devotee who's completely freed from material contamination, that's the only remedy. And so this is Srila Prabhupada. That, you know, people are being saved in this world from the degradation, which started with this cursing of Maharaj Parikshit, because of Prabhupada's presence. A devotee who's completely free from material contamination, by taking shelter of his lotus feet and smearing our body with the dust of his lotus feet. That's his Sankirtan movement. Then we can actually start to make progress. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada introduced the panacea, Kaler Dosha Nidairajan Yasteko Mahanganan Kirtanat Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangam Paramrajit. He brought this chanting up. He says, in this age of Kali, there's no good qualities, and it lists them. But there's one good quality. If we actually engage in hearing this Maha mantra and distribute it to others, then this is the saving grace. So the Srimad Bhagavatam finishes like that by saying that taking shelter of the holy name, it frees one from material contamination. And by paying obeisances to the Supreme Lord, we become peaceful. So Prabhupada gave this in Bhagavad Gita. You know, man mano bhava bhava bhaktir man yujimam namaskaru. That we, you know, we always think of Krishna, we worship Krishna. What's the other two? Bow down to Krishna. Always think of Krishna and work for Krishna. So anyway, maybe I could stop there because I'll be time to talk a little bit about Girada Pandit. I've got a few notes because So Gadadhar Pandit is what he was born 1 year after Lord Chaitanya. And he lived in the same village. And they grew up together. And they were very, very close. And they did everything together. Gadadhar Pandit, he was very quiet and very studious. They went to school together. But Gaurahari Nimai, he wasn't. He was exactly the opposite. And he used to torment Gadadhar Pandit. You know, he used to present to him difficult arguments, and he was constantly disturbing his mind. But Mother Sachi really appreciated Gadadhar Pandit, because she recognised in him that he's the only person who can sort of control Nimai. Because he's actually his friend, I feel safe when he's with Gadadhar Pandit. And so is Gadadhar Pandit. I think we all know who Gadadhar Pandit is. He's actually the representative of Srimati Radharani in this Kali Yuga, in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, particularly Panchatattva. He's in the internal potency of the Lord. And he's also described that he's Lalita Sakhi as well. So I'm not sure how that works out, but, you know, we're not in the... Anything's possible in the spiritual world. And, you know, we are severely limited in this world, so it's hard to think of, you know, these concepts about people being two persons. But, one of the main pastimes of Gadadhar Pandit is when, at some point, he made friends with Mukunda Datta. And at that time, Lord Chaitanya was meditating on one of his great devotees who had not appeared yet. And he'd appeared, but he wasn't actually in that area where Lord Chaitanya was present. He started calling out, "Oh, my father! Oh, my father!" And Pundarik, Pundarik, and then he said Vijini, because everybody thought he was talking about Pundarik. This is a name for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then when he said Pundarik, I said, who's this Pundarik? And Damodar, Shroop Damodar, and his close associates started to ask. And then he explained, and then not long after, Pundarik Vijinidhi appeared in that village. And so, you know, Gadadhar Pandit, he was always looking for somebody to take shelter of. He was very, very, what can you say, respectful to Vaishnav. So his friend Mukunda, he said, I know one Vaishnav who's appeared in Navadvip, and I think you'll be very happy to meet him. And so, you know, Gadadhar Pandit was fired up. And so they went to the abode of Pundarik Vijayanidhi, and he actually explains just how opulent that particular house was. He says when they went through the door, there was, it was like, you know, because Gadadhar Pandit, he was actually a renunciate from birth. He'd always been renounced, and he'd been given the brahmachari form of life. And so he was used to, you know, renunciation and abnegation. But when he went in the house of Pundarik Vijayanidhi, he saw Pundarik Vijayanidhi was on a bright red couch, and just above it was a bed with all silk and three canopies and pearls. And he got a silk turban and exquisite clothes, and there was, you know, pots all around him with different, you know, eatables, and two of the pots were actually spittoons. And then another one of the pots, there was another two of the pots, there was all pan ready prepared. And so he was putting this pan in his mouth and spitting into the spittoons. And when, you know, Gadadhar, when he saw this, his mouth dropped. And he was wondering, what is this? This is just a Vishayi. And, you know, Mukunda saw his face and he understood his mind. And he started to sing about the glories of the spiritual world, especially the gopis, about the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aho baki amstana kala kutam. This is about, you know, Putana. And Putana, even though she was a witch, and she came to poison Krishna, you know, Krishna's so merciful that he saw, this is my mother. Krishna takes the best of everything. And so he gave the position of mother to actually the female witch, Putana. He liberated her. And when, you know, Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard this, he started shaking like anything. And then, you know, tears were coming from his eyes. And then, you know, he fell off the couch and then he started kicking everything inside. He was just rolling about, lashing out. And there was 10 men trying to hold him down. And this went on for quite some time. He said everything was completely destroyed. There was nothing left. He broke everything. And then eventually he actually slowed down a little bit. And then he went into a samadhi, and he was just completely motionless. And then, you know, when Gadadhar Pandit saw this, he actually embraced Mukunda. He says, "You are my best friend." He says, "I was thinking so many untoward thoughts in the mind, but you revealed the real nature of Pundarik Vidyanidhi by reciting these prayers." And so at that point, Gadadhar said, in order to nullify this offence, this mental offence against Pundarik Vidyanidhi, I'd like to take initiation from him. He says, that's the only way I can actually be freed from that. And so in due course of time, Lord Chaitanya made arrangements that, you know, Pundarik Vidyanidhi could give him initiation. So Pundarik, let me just see if there's anything else before we retire. Yeah, he took Kshetra Sannyas, Gadadhar Pandit. When Lord Chaitanya went to Jagannath Puri, Gadadhar Pandit was his constant companion. He couldn't live without him. And so, you know, Gadadhar Pandit went to Jagannath Puri and he was given the service of worshipping the Tota Gopinath deity. But then Lord Chaitanya, he decided that he didn't want to stay in Jagannath Puri and he wanted to travel, so he made plans to travel to Vrindavan. And when Gadadhar Pandit found out, he actually he took Kshetra Sannyas, which means you stay in one place, you don't move, in one of the holy dharms. And so he decided to follow Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya admonished him several times, saying, you know, it's giving me a bad name and you're not following your vow. He says, you know, how does this look to people? And Gadadhar Pandit more or less said, I don't care. And he stayed with him. And, you know, Lord Chaitanya was very happy they had that mood, but yeah, externally he was exhibiting anger. And eventually he just told him in some certain words, you better get back to Jagannath Puri. Just go back. And so Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took Gadadhar Pandit back to Jagannath Puri. And then eventually when Lord Chaitanya left this world, he entered into the deity that Gadadhar Pandit was worshipping as a Tota Gopinath deity. And then, you know, Gadadhar Pandit, after some time, he couldn't bear separation from Lord Chaitanya, so he also entered into the Tota Gopinath deity. And now he's what they call a Danta Samadhi. That means a tooth Samadhi. Danta means tooth. So it's in Vrindavan, in the Vamsivat temple, in the courtyard there, is a samadhi, is that right? So when you go to Vrindavan, you can actually take darshan there. Okay, we'll stop there because it's late. And we can, any quick questions or, yeah?
Hare Krishna, thank you for a very nice class. I have two questions. One is, Maharaj, you mentioned that we should act according to our psychophysical nature, and in this way then we can fulfill our desires and get liberated. But what if you have, like, you know, you're a dynamic person, you can do many things. How do you know your psychophysical nature? And the other question is, like, yesterday we were learning in the Gita that, you know, everything works according to Krishna's plan. Does that also include your own desires?
Well, first question is, how do we know our psychophysical nature? And we don't, you know, we can only, nobody knows what their nature, they know that they're, you know, people in the material world, they're inclined to sense gratification, and that's their nature, different kinds of sense gratification. And, you know, some people work, you know, everybody, they don't know because they educate all society, they try and educate everybody to the same level. And if you can't come to the highest level, you seem to be inferior. So they haven't got a clue. But the Vedic system would, you know, train people according to the psychophysical nature. So we need Brahmins and Vaishnavas who are actually expert in understanding the science of living in this material world, living in the science of Varnashram Dham, the science of devotional service. And then they're able to, you know, understanding it probably, they're able to assess somebody by their activities and their nature. And then it says in the beginning, the Bhagavad Gita said the other day that it takes careful guidance in the beginning of devotional service in Bhagavad Gita. So in the beginning, we're, you know, devotees can be very disturbed, because they don't know, you know, how to engage. I remember when I first started, I was doing Sankirtan, and after a few years I thought, is this all there is? You know, it was nice. I was getting a taste from it. But I thought, what am I going to do? And so, you know, we need devotees to be engaged properly. Do they need to, you know, what's the symptoms? Do they need to be in the Grihastha ashram? Are they capable of being brahmachari? All these different things have to be given to us by devotees who are experienced. And also, when we practice devotional service, we'll start to realize our nature more and more, what we're actually good at in devotional service and what we're bad at. It takes a long time, actually, for a lot of people. So we just take guidance of the senior devotees, and you know, a woman's particular quality is that she should be chaste to the husband, and if she's chaste to the husband, then, you know, she doesn't have to worry too much, because a woman's nature is to serve the husband generally. But we see that, you know, even Matajis are conditioned to think that, you know, I should become same as men. And, you know, I was listening to a tape where Prabhupada's arguing with this Mataji who was interviewing. She really wasn't pleased at all with Prabhupada's answers, but he was just being straight. He says that, you know, a woman has a particular duty, and if she does that duty nicely, she'll get all the benefits that a good husband will actually, that the husband actually has. But from the other side, the man has to be qualified. So it's a two-way thing. And the second part of the question was, what was the second part again?
In the Gita it says, Krishna says, that everything works according to Krishna's plan. Everything is like not even a blink.
Oh, is Krishna in charge? Is he controlling our desires?
Yeah.
No. No. If we're a pure devotee, but if we're not, then, you know, that's one thing that we have. We've all got a free will to do whatever we choose. Krishna gives us that. And so therefore, he can arrange situations, but generally doesn't interfere with our free will. But when we desire to serve him, then he actually starts to make a particular, he makes arrangements. Brahman, the Brahmate, Bhagavan, Jeev, Guru, Krishna, Prasad, Pai, Bhakti, Lata, Bij. So he's in the heart. And when he sees that we're actually starting to take an interest in devotional service, he'll give us all arrangements to actually make the next step and the next step. And he'll inspire us if we're actually serious. So in that way, he's not changing our desire, but he's giving us confidence. But he doesn't. Our desire is left up to us all the time. Yeah. Well, where does the desire come from for everybody's benefit? Well, everything comes from Krishna. And, when we say Krishna, it doesn't mean just one person, it means everything. He has different energies. And, Prasya Shaktir Vividaiva Suryate. There's nothing but Krishna. So all those energies are imbued with different potencies. So we are the Jivatma. And we are imbued with the ability to have free will. We are imbued with the ability to have desires. Aparayamitastranyam prakriti vidimeparam bhumi apa nalo vayu. This is a material, gross energy, but we are aparayamitastranyam prakriti vidimeparam jiva bhuta. And so the jiva bhuta has a different quality to the material, to the matter. And we're actually one in quality with Krishna. We're an expansion. And that's limited to quantity, of course. Yeah?
I was listening to your class over there, Maharaj, and very nice class, and you were describing how the she Gadha Pandit is described as non-different, also described as Lalita Sakhi. So, according to the Rasa Shastra, these gopis, like Lalita, personalities, their personal expansions are Srimati Radharani. And their main purpose is to serve, to make Krishna and serve Krishna and bring them together. So, this is why the acharyas say she's also non-different from the Lalita Sakhi. Because she's like all the Astasakis, they're all expansions of Srimati Radharani, all of them. And they come to help Srimati Radharani serve Krishna.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you for a nice class, Maharaj. I just had a question on the caste system. I think it's more like, I feel a little bit, disillusioned and hopeless, because if I look at the material world at the moment and the way it's structured, we understand from the Vedic scriptures how it should be, and we look at how far we are from that. I think it kind of makes me wonder from a future preacher perspective, or like helping people understand more about Krishna consciousness, how can we talk about the caste system and make people understand? Because even the caste system is kind of seen as corrupt now that, like, if we look at what's happening in India, I think at least people in the West don't know how open they will be to hearing about that. I guess it's just more like a personal reflection.
Yeah, this is not this caste system that general public might understand is not the real caste system, that's right. And so education, this is what this movement's meant for, to gradually educate society. By, you know, we may have to be logical. Prabhupada, he didn't necessarily quote Shastra to people who didn't know Shastra, to the general populace or to leaders. He would quote, he would actually deal on them on the platform of logic and reason. And that's what he was doing with this Mataji. He was actually interviewing him. He was very logical and reasoning at every point she made, and eventually she went away. She was angry. He said, what can you do, you know, if they won't listen to logic? If they don't accept logic, there's nothing we can do. So the only way is to present things in a systematic, logical way. That's why he formed the Bhaktivedanta Institute, so that, you know, his leading, his disciples who were actually professors, they could actually, they know the language of how to preach to that kind of person. But, you know, they would actually very logically explain the situation and how it's different from what they were understanding. You know, the scientific, the theistic scientific science. And then when people are a little bit educated and they start to take an interest in Shastra, then we can speak to them from that level. Okay, I think we better stop there then. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi.